Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. We got 25 more minutes. I'm Tim Wildman. Co-hosting with me today is Alex McFarland. Alex is in North Carolina on the peanut farm.
Hello, my friend.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us in studio.
I am here. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, so That's not exactly Paisley.
No, I don't even know what to call this shirt. It's kind of busy, but
it's kind of a it's a Paisley polka dot hybrid.
Yeah, kind of almost a tie dye thing, but in miniature.
Yeah.
Hey, can I do a shout out real quick?
Go.
My wife had a flat tire this morning, and I was gonna rush over and help her and everything, but she got some help, and I wanted to. Give a shout out to Taylor Springs Free Will Baptist Church in Beaverton, Alabama, and Danny Otis of Otis Funeral Homes in Sulgent, Alabama, who gave her some help today. So thank you, gentlemen.
Good Samaritans.
Yes. Yes.
Danny
Otts. I'm sorry, Danny Otts, not Otis. Danny Otts.
And let me just note that the good people could have been Samaritans, they could have been Egyptians, they could have been.
Could have been.
You know, so I don't mean to leave anybody out.
No, we can't do that.
But Good Samaritans is just a figure of speech.
Yes.
But so your wife had a flat tire?
Yeah, she had a flat tire this morning.
And these folks you just mentioned helped her out.
They helped her out.
So you didn't have to drive an hour.
I didn't have to drive, and more importantly, she got help.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just real quick also, last night the Yankees threw a perfect game against my Oakland A's.
The Yankees pitcher. What's his name?
Domingo Germán, and the Yankees won the game 11-0. This is why I love baseball. I hate the Yankees. I am an Oakland A's fan. I had season tickets at one point. I cannot stand the Yankees. And it was in the Coliseum. Every fan was on their seat cheering for him when it got to the 8th and 9th innings, and I would have been too. It's one of the most exciting things you can do, and baseball's different than other sports in that, yeah, you can go to a football game, you can see maybe the most points scored and everything, but the records aren't quite as venerated in other sports as they are in baseball. And any given day at a baseball game, you can see something that's historic, even with the worst team could do something historic. So, Steve, I
got to ask you, growing up in California and being an Oakland A's fan, did you ever see Reggie Jackson play?
I did. Wow. I not only see him play, but my dad would, in the 70s, I was a teenager, we would go up once a year and spend the night at a hotel up there and go see it. Well, one time we saw a Saturday doubleheader and a Sunday game, and we stayed at the same hotel as the Yankees stayed at that particular time, and I saw Reggie before the game at the hotel.
Wow. So, yeah. Did you get to talk to him?
I did not. I didn't. I was too chicken at that
point. All right, let's go, Steve.
All right.
Okay, you and me. Okay? Because I'm 60. You're how old?
63.
So we're same era. We're at the end of the baby boomer train.
Yep.
Okay, so I paid close attention to baseball during those years, too.
Yes.
Right. I'm well aware of how great the A's teams were from the early 70s.
They had some good years.
I think they won 3 world championships.
3 in a row in the 70s, yep.
3 in a row in the 70s. So, I was a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but.
That's before the A's were St. Louis Cardinals.
Let's go here. Shortstop. Oakland A's.
Campy Campaneris.
I thought it was Burt.
Burt.
Was it Burt Campy Campaneris?
Burt Campy Campaneris,
okay,
yeah.
You're right on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Third baseman.
Sal Bando.
No.
Yes.
yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about it now. Left fielder. You're right. Steve was right. I was wrong.
Gene Tennis?
Where's that center? He was a big catcher.
Gene Tennis. He was. Well,
He's the one that Charlie Hustle ran into in the All-Star game and bloodied his nose.
Yes, that was.
Okay. Left fielder.
Joe Rudy.
Joe Rudy. Mm-hmm. Feel free to jump in here, Alex. It's important stuff.
I'm waiting till you get to the pitcher.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. The best pitcher.
Or at least one from my home state.
I got
state.
Two.
Well, there was Vita Blue. There was
I know the one Alex is talking about, which is
you
North
know
Carolina.
Who I'm thinking of.
Catfish Hunter.
And I preached at his church.
Raleigh Fingers. I got to see Raleigh Fingers off. I had a friend who was on The Price Is Right. No, the Family Feud in the 70s, and Raleigh Fingers, his family was the opponent to my friend's family on that game.
I'm one up in you right there.
Yeah.
A year ago, in January,
mm-hmm.
I was in Orlando. And am I hearing Stairway to Heaven in the background?
Yes, you are.
What is that?
Well, Southside Baptist Church that gives me office space for our studio, their bells are playing in their steeple.
Are you serious? That's what's going on? We're hearing church bells?
Yeah, you're hearing the church bells in the background where I am, Tim.
Only in the land of Andy Griffith would that happen right here on live radio. Anyway, so I'm at a golf tournament.
Yeah.
A celebrity golf tournament, which I don't consider myself a celebrity, but I was invited by a fella who was running the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my foursome, if you're familiar with golf terms, mm-hmm. you have our foursome in the tournament was none other than Raleigh Fingers.
Was he in there? Did he still have his handlebar mustache?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
The legendary
relief
pitcher for the – and Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Oh, yes.
For the
– I think he was the first relief pitcher that got in as a relief pitcher. Blue Moon Odom and Kenny Holtzman were two other of the good pitchers they had back in the day.
Yeah. Those Oakland A's teams and the Cincinnati Red, Big Red Machine, those were the teams – and the Yankees, they had their – they had their moments too in the with Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin and all that in the 70s. Some glory years there, especially mm-hmm. for the Oakland A's and the Cincinnati Reds. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, not Baseball America.
No.
But Abraham Hamilton III is in studio with us. Abe's our on each afternoon on the Hamilton Corner from 5 to 6 o'clock. He's also a constitutional attorney, and we ask him to step in and comment on some of these Supreme Court decisions. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Baseball fan?
Yeah, I like baseball. I played baseball when I was a child, when the curves and stuff started.
Mm, yeah.
That separates people. Yeah.
I played AAU basketball. I had to choose between – I pitched, too, so I enjoyed pitching. But when I wasn't pitching, we had great pitchers on our teams, and so nobody else got to do anything when some of the other pitchers pitched. I was like, sit in the outfield and play with the butterflies or go run a fast break in a gym somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I hear you. so anyway, a couple of decisions. You haven't even had a chance to read them, obviously.
I haven't read them yet.
Okay. Steve, you want to throw both of them at Abe and get him just
sure.
a comment on?
Yeah, the big one that everybody's talking about.
Did you get what I said there?
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting, Steve. I said... Throw one at Abe.
Yeah, there you go.
At my head?
Yeah. Curveball coming at you there, Abe.
Am I too close to the plate, Tim? Is that what you're telling me?
A brushback pitch. So the Supreme Court today struck down affirmative action at Harvard and at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody's talking about. The first case, I guess, that I'd like to ask you about. The Supreme Court said it is unconstitutional to do admissions and other preferences based on race.
Mm-hmm.
Important?
Yeah. It's very important. And I haven't read the opinions yet, but the principle.
It was 6-3 decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who wrote the majority opinion? Do we know?
I think it was Alito.
Okay.
No, it was Raleigh Fingers.
Well, did he write or did his handlebar mustache write? That is
good question.
But the reality is we have two competing issues. One, we have the founding ethos of our nation, the Declaration of Independence, that all men are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. Then we have the reality of our historical inability or to live up to that in the past. The question is that still persists in the present? And it is my view that we cannot get to where we are going to, where we want to be as a nation, if we continue across the board to allow external superficial perceptions of ethnicity to drive that in an effort to try to redress historical grievances. We repeat those grievances, but just point them in another direction. And it's unfortunate that we're seeing the reversal of we want to no longer judge people according to the color of their skin, but the content of their character. But in our society, we're seeing the exact reversal of that. So I believe that the Supreme Court's opinion announced today that, again, that I haven't read yet, but I will get into it, concerning say hey, we should not admit or refuse admission to people into universities based on the superficial assessment of their ethnicity. So I think this very well could be over time. I know there's a lot of emotion, a lot of riled feelings in the moment, but I think over time this could be a decision that aids us into accomplishing the constitutional desires of becoming a more perfect union going forward.
It was Chief Justice Roberts that delivered that opinion. The other case was one that's known as Goff v. DeJoy.
Goff?
Goff, G-O-F-F.
Oh, I thought you said Goff.
No. Mr. Goff was a United States Post Office employee who asked for Sundays off. My understanding is that he was given Sundays off, but then the post office started delivering on Sundays for one of the delivery systems, and they rescinded their religious exemption for him. The Supreme Court today, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals said that he was asking an undue thing to the Supreme Court, and he said that the Third Circuit said he had to work. The Supreme Court vacated and remanded that, so I'm assuming that means he won. Got one.
It would be, if that is the posture of the Supreme Court, that would be an interlocutory decision that would allow additional findings to be determined. And you referred to the standard. One of the considerations would be whether or not the request for accommodation would impose an undue burden on the institution. And so the question that would be asked following that, does the USPS?
Yes.
UPS, I mean?
United States Postal Service.
Whether or not the United States Postal Service allows religious accommodation for anybody else. So if they do, the issue will be, well, how can you accommodate somewhat of another religious affiliation, yet you deny this person the opportunity to be accommodated with Sundays? Yeah. And so that appears to be what the Supreme Court has ruled.
But. Yeah.
All right. Well, look at there. I'm
there
showing you on my phone.
Huh? That's Raleigh Fingers.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. Good. Look at that. See that, Brent?
All right.
Yep. Alex, can you see my phone?
I can see it. You did it, brother.
Okay, that's me and Raleigh Fingers right there.
We're showing pictures on the radio. That's good.
Yeah. He can tell people. He said, listen, I'm not bragging, but I played golf with Tim Wildman.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I heard him say that, yeah.
He still has the handlebar, but he has gray hair. And he's, I don't know how old Raleigh Fingers would be. I'm guessing he's 70.
Upper like 70s, that. Yeah.
Or older. Anyway, pretty good golfer. Brent, very friendly guy. And he has a ton of baseball stories from his years, and I just ate all that up. Mm-hmm. Playing golf with him. Anything else to ask Brother Abe about?
Not with the Supreme Court. Well, let's talk about what's coming down the pike. Just give us a preview, if you could. We're watching another religious freedom case, 303 Creative. Can you?
Yeah. Pike may be tomorrow.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah, the 303 Creative case is a big one.
What is that?
The 303 Creative case is a case that, again, comes out of Colorado, the same state that Jack Phillips came from, where you have a woman who's a Christian. She has a website that she does invitations and things of that nature for weddings. She preemptively said that she, because of her Christian faith, she does not want to endorse a union that would violate her faith. So she's challenging the constitutionality of Colorado's lawsuit. I would mention the only reason why that this case is at the Supreme Court is because of what the Supreme Court failed to do in the Jack Phillips case a couple years ago. Instead of providing a broad brush First Amendment religious freedom defense, First Amendment defense, the Supreme Court failed to do so. So this case has arisen because it provides an additional context where the same principles, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, free exercise of religion, comes up against Colorado's non-discrimination statute. So what the Supreme Court does in this case will be huge in its impact for religious liberty in our country. So we are waiting with bated breath for that. In full disclosure, we at AFA filed an amicus brief in this case, supporting 303 Creative and making the arguments to support religious liberty in our nation. So we are waiting for that decision to come out.
Full disclosure, I introduced Jack Phillips to his ADF attorney.
Mm. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I covered the case when I was working with Focus. Someone called and gave me a tip, and I went up, and that's. I said, "Do you someone representing you?" No, I said, "Well, let me make a phone call."
Thank All right, you, thank you, Abe.
Welcome.
Look forward to the Hamilton Corner this afternoon. What are you going?
Yeah, we're going to delve in. I'm going to read some of these opinions that I just talked about and talk about some of the details there. Also, we will talk about the reality that Hunter Biden is being deposed today.
Yep. Who's deposing him?
Well, he's being deposed in a civil case. But because he's going under oath, you have the wherewithal to ask him any questions, really, concerning his veracity for truth-telling. And first question I would ask him, was he telling the truth or was he lying when he sent that text message to Henry Zhao from China to say his dad is sitting right there when he's demanding his money from the Chinese? And I would follow that question up with, did you say that because the money train was drying up?
You think he's going to – so Hunter Biden's going to be asked those questions today?
If I was deposing him, I would. It's possible.
What kind of civil case now? Remind me.
Yeah, he has a civil case. He's being deposed today. It's happening today under oath in a deposition. It escapes me the particular details of that case. But because he's reached this plea deal that it hadn't been agreed to by the judge yet.
It's a defamation case against the owner of the computer repair shop.
That's right.
Why can't he just say, I plead the Fifth Amendment?
Well, one of the reasons why he could be deprived of that is because he's reached his plea deal. The Fifth Amendment protects you against incrimination for future crimes. If the criminal prosecution is wrapped up, that is the way his lawyer is saying it, his lawyer wouldn't be able to then claim Fifth Amendment privilege against another nation.
Yeah, so, that's not good because he's either going to – if he says no, I was making it up. Or if he says yeah, how did he say Yeah, the big guy. Dad was sitting right by me when we were cutting this deal. He can't say that.
Now you see why it would be my first question.
Yeah. Mm. He's going to have to say, no, I was making that up. There was nobody sitting beside me. I was mad at the guy, and I needed my millions of dollars from China. And so I just told him that to scare him.
And I would ask these questions with having subpoenaed bank records to show flow of money to lack thereof to see if this is part of their motivation.
But you know what? Then if you say, well, I just made that up, because I wanted to intimidate the person on the other end of the phone, then you got to say, well, why would the person on the other end of the phone even think your dad was in the room with you?
And why would the person on the other end of the phone be intimidated by the fact that your dad was in the room?
If your dad knows nothing about your foreign business dealings.
Not a thing.
Now you smell what the Abe is cooking, Mr. Timothy.
Yes. I'd have been a good lawyer.
Or at least a paralegal, right?
I had to pursue a basketball career, but otherwise I'd have gone into law.
It's not too late, Tim. It's not too late.
Yeah, it is.
For basketball, it is.
true story. And I began my law school career at night because I had to work full-time and go to law school. One of my classmates was a 67-year-old retired surgeon who pursued a career change because his dexterity in his fingers and his hands changed, so he no longer felt confident doing the surgeries. Right. So he said, I think I'll go to law school now.
At 67.
In his 60s.
So a doctor and a lawyer. The slacker.
He became a doctor and a lawyer.
The slacker.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Brother Abe. Look forward to the show this afternoon.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, that's Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is a constitutional lawyer in addition to being host of our afternoon program, The Hamilton Corner, from 5 to 6 o'clock. You still there, Alex?
Yes, I'm here. Hunter Biden, there are a lot of just accusations around him. Did you see the story a few days ago about that he tried to... on his taxes, deduct $106,000 in expenses related to prostitutes and membership in a sex club. I can't imagine what that is, but I mean,
he listed
a business expense.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page ran an editorial on this today. It says next time Joe Biden asks rich people to pay their fair share, ask him if his son did. That's the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Isn't that something? My point is, this is a guy that I think that he could perjure himself. And, we're not talking about a person who's a paragon of morality or ethics here.
Yeah, and Joe Biden, the president, doesn't need to be parading around, doesn't seem to me, with Hunter Biden right now. Carrying him to Camp David, almost like he's having to tote around his 11-year-old son who, made three F's on his report card.
Huh? By the way, did you see yesterday the president, and again, I mean, I care about the welfare of the country. I care about Joe Biden as a human being. I pray for him. But did you see just the outburst of anger and rage when he was asked about Hunter in the press?
I only heard about that. I haven't watched that video clip.
We don't have that. I did watch it. Yeah, it was.
What happened, Alex?
Well, he just got enraged and shouted no. Well,
what was the question?
The question was, you know, they asked him to just give a reaction about Hunter and the tape of what he was ostensibly threatening the Chinese businessman about the money. But what a lot of people have said is, among elderly people that are exhibiting signs of dementia, there's a state called disinhibition. Now, disinhibition, and those of us that have dealt with elderly parents, we've seen this, anger. Whenever there's a question that makes them uncomfortable or they can't answer or don't want to answer, their default position becomes just this
lashing out,
anger, lashing out. And that's what we're seeing right in virtually every one of the president's press conferences these days.
That's another thing I thought about might happen with Joe Biden, the president. If, you know, the Democrats try to hold an intervention, I'm talking about the powers that be, and they say to him, listen, Mr. President, we appreciate your service, but we think it's best that we make a change as far as who represents the Democrats to run in 2024, and we're going to ask you to, you know, to
recuse yourself.
Yeah, step aside, retire, whatever. And then he acts out like you just described, which is a real possibility that he just.
That's something you don't want as a president.
I know. He gets angry.
Every time.
He gets angry about it and says, no, I'm not stepping aside. Look at Biden. Look at my economy. I'm laughing, but, I mean, that's what he's going to say. Look, the American people, they need me. They want me. And what are you going to do? Because then you got to go the – which amendment is it? That you can remove
25th. 25th Amendment, yeah.
25th Amendment that you have to use to remove a president who is mentally unstable or for other reasons. The Congress can, but it takes the Congress. Well, the Democrats going to do that in the Senate?
If they want him out, they could, but they'd have to get rid of Kamala first. They don't want her. Popularity.
So the best case scenario for the Democrats, you know, they do an intervention on Biden, and Jill Biden helps him, and he says, I'm not running again because, you know, Jill, who he says is his boss, says I shouldn't. Then they buy off Kamala Harris, give her $25 million.
They're between a rock and a hard place, but it's of their own making.
Yeah, but yesterday Biden said we were fighting in Iraq.
Yeah.
Unthinkable. When asked about the Ukraine, he says he's going to end that war in Iraq.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right there. So anyway, just remember us. You heard it here third. Okay, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, will be the Democrat nominee for president this time next year. Okay, all right, Alex. Thanks so much.
God bless you all.
It's Dr. Alex McFarland and Steve Jordahl. Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Chris Woodward, Abraham Hamilton III, Brent Creeley, our producer, and we thank you for listening. Trivia Friday tomorrow, so join us then.